to turn your children into kind, loving, caring members of the community, who know right from wrong. You are molding and shaping your children to be the future teachers, nurses, doctors, and leaders. Whatever your child does, even the most basic job, if you have reared them well, they will be capable of making an important contribution. You shape the future of the world, because you shape your children, who are a part of the future. I feel so sad when I discuss this with parents and they tell me something like, "They are just my children. They are not part of my destiny. There has got to be a greater purpose to my life." Many parents think that their children are stopping them from living a more fulfilled life. But your children bring you out into the world, they make you more aware of the world around you, and it is through being a parent that many people get more involved in the world around them and learn much more about themselves. Sometimes people talk as if an individual has only one destiny or purpose in life, but in fact we all have many purposes in our lives, and being a parent is the most important one. Alongside being a parent, we all have other things we are called upon to do, like being a good neighbor or earning a living. I am called to write these books and pass on all the messages that God and the angels have given me. This is a demanding task and one it is important for me to fulfill. Parents can and do other things to use their gifts in the world. It is important to use the gifts and talents that you are given, partly because in this way, you give an example to your children of how to live their lives to the fullest. I have been struggling a bit with writing this chapter, and I have been asking Angel Michael for help. Angel Michael is one of the angels who has been a part of my life since childhood. The first time I saw him, I was about 5. He looked like other angels, but there was something different about him. He shone more strongly than the others, and he had a commanding presence, a powerful force of male strength. From that first time I saw him, I always felt he was ready to protect me, like a shield, and from then on, he kept appearing and gradually we became friends. He told me his name was Michael. Many years later he told me that he was the Archangel Michael. "Your child has chosen you, as its mother or father." I have been trying to find a way to explain just how important being a parent is. Angel Michael has told me to remind you that your child chose you as its parent, just as Jesus chose Holy Mary to be his mother and Joseph to be his father on this earth. Your child has chosen you as its mother or father. Hard as you might find this to believe, your child, when it was still a soul in heaven, before it was conceived, chose you to be its parent. It chose you, knowing everything about you, the good and the bad. Even knowing that you might not be the best father or mother, it chose you over all others. I can't explain why unborn souls choose a particular parent. Why did my children choose me and Joe? Babies also choose adoptive or long-term foster parents. Sometimes a soul will have chosen more than two parents, knowing that a parent might die or be unable to rear it. At a book signing in Belfast, a young couple in their late 20s came up to me. There were loads of angels around them, but the light of their guardian angels hadn't opened yet. The husband, looking emotional, burst out, "We are trying to adopt because we can't have children of our own." As he said this, his wife started to cry. A beautiful angel to her right bent over her, hugging her as she wept. Her husband tried to console her. He asked me to pray that their adoption application would be approved. The young woman grabbed my hands and said, "Lorna, please ask God to grant us a baby. We want a family. We'll be really good parents, the best." Her husband nodded beside her. "I will pray and ask," I promised. "Keep asking the guardian angels of all the people in the adoption process to help to send you a child." The man looked at me, saying, "We don't care what age or nationality or whether it's boy or a girl, we want a child of our own, it will be ours." I blessed and prayed over them. I watched as they walked away from the table where I was signing, arms around each other. The light of the guardian angel behind both of them opened up, shielding my view of them for a moment, and from the back I saw two beautiful guardian angels, significantly taller than the husband and wife, glowing like gold. Both guardian angels gave a male appearance. They seemed to be wearing long cloaks of gold, which had perfect pleats. They had wings that were closed and they didn't show me their wings fully. As the couple walked away, arm in arm and escorted by their angels, I was told that their baby had already chosen them and was waiting for them. When I come across people with problems having a baby, I always tell them not to give up. Infertility does not mean that a soul hasn't chosen you to be its mother or father. Listen to your guardian angel and see what promptings you are being given. I met a mother in Kilkenny recently, and she told me that she and her husband had decided to adopt a baby from Romania. They went to Romania understanding they were getting a baby under 6 months old. In the orphanage, the woman in charge took them into a yard where there were 3 to 5 year olds playing and tried to give them one of these children. The couple kept protesting that they were there for a baby, and she kept shrugging and saying, "No babies, only these babies." This went on for a while with the adoptive parents getting increasingly upset. A series of children was paraded in front of them. Out of the corner of her eye, the mother-to-be started to watch a ragged little girl who was standing on her own by a swing, wailing. She felt drawn to this child. The parents had never considered the idea of adopting a 3-year-old, let alone a 3-year-old who had suffered mental and emotional damage and who would never be completely able for this world. Yet, to their surprise, they chose this terrified 3-year-old, who was afraid to even hug them and who screamed all the time. This little soul had chosen them as her parents before she was born, and they had listened to God and their guardian angels and recognized her. When the mother told me this, the child had been in Ireland a few years. She still had a lot of difficulties, and she still had special needs, but with her parents' love and patience she was now able to express affection. The angels with me whispered in my ear to ask the mother whether she would make the same choice again. She looked at me, surprised, and considered carefully before answering, "I can't imagine life without her. Life isn't easy now, and it never will be as she will always need our help. But we love her, she's our daughter, and with our love, hopefully she will grow into a loving, gentle adult." Years ago, when Ruth was only a baby, Angel Michael told me that I would write a book about God and the angels. When I protested that I couldn't read or write properly, he told me that help would be sent and, years later, after my husband died, that help materialized in my friend and agent, Jean. Some years later, down in Johnstown, Angel Michael told me that Jean wasn't just there to help me get the message of God and the angels out into the world, but that she was also there to play a special and important role for my daughter, Megan. Jean was there to help Megan to realize her talents and her potential in the world. It has been wonderful to see this unfolding in the 9 years that Jean has been in Megan's life. Megan was 6 when they met for the first time. Her brothers and sister, of course, play an important part, but Jean's role is completely different. Jean, as someone well-educated and well-traveled, is able to open Megan's eyes to things in a way I couldn't. Megan calls Jean an encyclopedia, and is an important influence on her as well as being a special friend to her. Throughout my children's lives, I can see the influence and help that different adults have given. My eldest son, Christopher, for example, benefited enormously from the friendship and support of the father of one of his friends. This man took a particular interest in Christopher at a time when his own father, Joe, was sick. This man helped Christopher to recognize his talents and decide that he should study engineering. I will always be grateful to this man, and to other adults who have helped my children, for their help and support. As I often say, I can't do everything on my own, and no parent can. The angels put adults into children's lives. Sometimes this is just for a short period, a word of encouragement, and sometimes it's for longer. The angels tell me that every adult needs to play their part with the young people around them. Parents may have the most important role, but for our children to grow up as they should, the angels tell me that they need the friendship, attention, and support of adults other than their parents around them. I was up at the stables where Megan does her horse riding the other day. One of the women there was pregnant. She was surrounded by angels other than her guardian angel, and they were dancing around her full of joy, so excited about this little baby who was to be born in about a month. For a moment I could see the infant inside her, and I was shown the love that the baby had for its mother, its joy feeling the way its mother was protecting it and keeping it safe. Your child loves you long before it is born. Sometimes when I am shown a baby in its mother's tummy, the angels around the mother will tell me that this little baby is not going to stay. When an angel tells me this, I understand there will be a miscarriage. Despite this, the angels show me all the love that this tiny baby is pouring out on the mother it has chosen. The soul chose this mother and father even knowing it will not be born. I have asked God and the angels why this happens, why a mother miscarries. They haven't answered me fully. They have told me it is primarily to do with the life path of that little soul, short as it is, rather than that of the parents. But the soul of this little baby loves its parents so deeply that it stays around them after death to help to comfort them and ease the pain of their loss. That little soul loves its parents so much that it's there for them when they need it. The baby has, of course, gone to heaven and is happy, but, hard as this might be to understand, it can be with the parents at the same time as being in heaven. The same is true for any baby that has been aborted. At a signing recently, a young woman told me of an abortion she had had some years before. As she sat in front of me in tears, I was shown the spirit of a baby boy on her lap. The expression of love on the face of the spirit baby boy was so moving. I could see its unconditional love for its mother. It had chosen her knowing that there would be an abortion. I meet lots of parents, and they frequently ask how they can be a better mother or father. Many men in particular tell me that they think they are no good at being fathers. A man in his 30s came up to me in a hotel in London once and asked for a few moments of my time. The angels whispered in my ear to give him a few minutes, so I looked around the hotel and suggested a quiet table by the window. He told me he believed he wasn't a good father, and this was really worrying him and causing him a lot of stress. I have a 7-year-old girl and a 10-year-old boy, he told me. I treat my son as if he is stupid, even though I know he probably isn't. I run him down and do exactly what my father did to me. My father used to compare me with his friends' sons. I feel really bad about it, but I don't seem to be able to help it. He told me that when he came in from work, he would go and talk to his son as he was doing his homework and would look through his exercise books, pointing out where he had a spelling wrong, or would ask him to read aloud and then get impatient that he wasn't fast enough or was making mistakes with pronunciation. My dad did exactly that with me, finding faults all the time. He made me into a nervous wreck, and now I'm doing the same thing with my own son. He had tears in his eyes, which he tried to hide with his hand up to his face, as he asked, "How can I change this, Lorna?" I looked at him and said, "Remember, your father did his best. He wasn't perfect. No father is, and he could only do his best. But you recognize that his was not the best way, that he made mistakes and you want to do better, and that makes you a good father already, even if you don't believe it. Ask your guardian angel to help you and your son to become friends. Your son loves you, and you love both him and your daughter." As I said these words, the light of his guardian angel opened for a moment and embraced him. His guardian angel spoke to me without words, in such a compassionate and loving way, telling me to keep on encouraging him, that he already was a good father. "Ask your guardian angel to help you to be patient with your son," I continued. "Remember, he is only a child and has an awful lot to learn. When you are looking at your son's homework, find the things he has done well. Let your son know you are very proud of him. Most important of all, spend more time playing with your son and your daughter, and listen attentively to them when they are telling you something. That way, as they grow, they will share with you their worries and troubles and will never be afraid to come to you with their problems." The man sat there wiping his eyes. "You will have a brilliant relationship with your children," I continued, "even when they are adults, and you are a grandfather." The man smiled at me, saying, "I am so sorry for being so emotional. I have never cried in public like this before. I smiled and told him not to worry, that it happened around me a lot. Just remember, I said as I leaned over to bless him, ask your guardian angel to help you to become a brilliant father and ask your children's guardian angels to help, too. Many parents have become conscious that both they and their children have a guardian angel who never leaves them for one second and that they can ask their own guardian angel to ask their children's guardian angels to help their children. Lots of mothers tell me that they remind their children that they have a guardian angel as they go out the door to school in the morning. They tell me that they also ask the children's guardian angels to look after them at school and help them with their work and play. Many mothers and fathers have told me that knowing that both they and their children have a guardian angel has made them better parents, that knowing that there are angels that to help has made life easier and has guided them to be better parents. They tell me that when they find themselves getting irritated or stressed, they become conscious of the promptings of their guardian angel, telling them to be patient, and they feel themselves relaxing and becoming more loving and their homes more full of joy. I know from my own personal experience that being a parent is not easy. In fact, at times it's extremely stressful, but remember, being a parent is the most important job in the world. Chapter 5, Prayer Can Move Mountains. Prayer is such a powerful force. We underestimate it so much. Prayer can move mountains if only we would let it. If only you would realize just how powerful prayer can be, you will never feel hopeless. You may think you don't pray very much. You may think you don't pray at all. But a prayer can be a quick thought that crosses your mind, a word or a cry to God for help. Even what we might think of as swearing can sometimes in fact be a prayer if it comes from the soul. I talk and ask the angels to help, I ask angels to intercede, but I don't pray to them. I pray only to God. Prayer is direct communication with God. No one ever prays alone. When you pray to God, there is a multitude of angels of prayer there, praying with you, regardless of your religious faith or how you are behaving. They are there enhancing your prayer, interceding on your behalf and imploring God to grant your prayer. Every time you pray, even if it is only one word, the angels of prayer are like a never-ending stream flowing at tremendous speed to heaven with your prayers. Angels of prayer are very hard to describe, particularly as when I see them it is generally as a flow of hundreds of thousands of them, in a stream of light. It's a constantly moving light, a bit like a waterfall falling from a height, except it's flowing upward. I rarely see angels of prayer standing still, but let me describe one from a time when I did. Angels of prayer are extremely tall, much taller than any person, with long and slender wings which seem to be in constant motion. They don't give an appearance of being male or female but are surrounded by a shimmering light, which glimmers like sunshine. They wear flowing white robes that are loose. Sometimes when they are moving, I will see a glimpse of another color, but it's always very subtle. Angels of prayer are extremely beautiful. I know it's hard to believe that I see hundreds of thousands of angels of prayer flowing like a river toward heaven, bringing a person's prayers and presenting them at the throne of God. But that is what I am shown. It's as if angels of prayer bring every bit of the prayer, every syllable that is prayed for, up to heaven. When the person stops praying, the flow stops, but as soon as the person starts to pray again, the stream of angels of prayer resumes. People sometimes ask me how to pray. Let me start by telling you how I learned to pray as a young child. I was taught to pray by a special angel when I was about 4 years old. This was the angel Amen, although I only knew her as the special angel of prayer until years later. The angel Amen used to come and sit on my bed with me and teach me how to pray. She used to sit on my bed like a teenager, with crossed legs covered by a full skirt. Angel Amen gave me the appearance of a beautiful young woman with long, honey blonde hair with curls. My curls had been cut off shortly before I met Angel Amen for the first time, so I was particularly impressed by her hair. Her clothes were made of an embroidered cream fabric, like a fine silk. There were patterns embroidered on the silk, but I have no idea, even now, what they symbolized. Her dress was very shapely to her waist, but the skirt that fell to her ankles was very full. The sleeves were long and wide. Angel Amen never came when there was anyone else in the bedroom I shared with my sister, Emma, who was 2 years older than me. Mostly she came when I was in bed ready for sleep, but sometimes she appeared during the day when I was playing in the room on my own. She would take my hand and guide it to make the sign of the cross. She was showing me a Christian symbol, as I was born a Catholic. If I was born into another religious tradition, I know she would have taught me what was important to that tradition. She taught me to pray to God using my normal everyday words, and she also taught me how to say some of the formal prayers of the Catholic Church, like the Hail Mary and the Our Father. I would, of course, later learn these in school. Sometimes she would tell me to close my eyes, and other times she would tell me to look at her. She taught me some special prayers that she told me I was never to share with anyone. It's very strange, but I seem to have forgotten them as I grew older. I know that Angel Amen has hidden them from me. Angel Amen taught me a particular form of meditative prayer, where I pray with every particle of my body and my soul. This is very intensive and deep prayer, and since I was a child I have prayed like this for some time every day. Sometimes it's just for a few minutes, sometimes it's longer, but when I pray like this, it's as if time has no meaning and I feel tremendous joy. Angel Amen also taught me how to have my soul in constant prayer even when I am doing something else. Even now, as I am writing this, I am praying for things I have been asked to pray for. It's a bit hard to explain how I can be doing both at the same time, but I am. Angel Amen did most of her teaching with me when I was between 4 and 6 years old. Then she came to me regularly. Now she comes to me about once a month. I love it when Angel Amen comes to pray with me. When she takes my hand, she fills me with so much peace, and each word as we pray is so slow and so long. I don't know exactly why she comes, but I believe it's because her presence enhances my prayers. When she comes to pray with me, I seem to remember those special prayers she taught me again. The following morning, though, I will have no memory of the words of them. Angel Amen has a very important part to play in helping the world to pray regardless of religion or beliefs. The word Amen is like the beginning and end of any prayer. It's a very important word. Try to use the word Amen at the end of your prayer. It enhances your prayer. That's why God put it there in the first place. But don't worry if you forget to say Amen. The angels of prayer will say it for you. I know everyone can learn how to pray, and if you ask the angel Amen, she will help you. You might just say, "Angel Amen, please teach me how to pray." Try and get into the habit of saying even a little prayer. It might be while you are standing at your kitchen sink looking out the window, or walking along a road. Perhaps say a little prayer for something that you are worried about, something you saw or heard on the news, or something you are grateful for. Nothing is too big or too small to pray about. Start to take a moment every day to pray, knowing that the angels of prayer will be right there with you. It can be as simple and short a prayer as, "God, help me. Amen." You will be amazed at the difference even saying a small prayer can make. Over time, praying even for a very short moment each day will give you such a feeling of peace. As you pray, try and become aware that you have a soul, that there is more to you than just your flesh and blood. Ask God to make you more connected to your soul, so that your body and soul become one in prayer. As you pray more, you will become more spiritual and you will feel yourself lifted spiritually. I know that if even for 1 second you felt the connection between your soul and yourself, it would give you a feeling of such joy. Some people like to pray using formal prayers, like the Our Father, but you can also pray just by talking to God, as you would a friend, asking for help. Sometimes we feel we can't find the right words to pray, or that our words aren't good enough. Whatever words you use, they are good enough, and the angels of prayer enhance them. There is nothing too small to pray for. Sometimes, the angels allow me to hear someone at prayer, a mother saying a quick prayer in a church, while her children are running around, that the children would sleep tonight. A young man at the bus stop, praying for the bus to hurry up. People pray about the ordinary concerns of everyday life, and it's great to see. Angel Michael has always told me that while there are different religions, there is only one God, and that in the future, all religions should become unified under one umbrella. He has also told me that the prayers of people of all religions are equally powerful. Nothing is too big to pray for either. Sometimes, we get overwhelmed by a situation such as a war or a famine and feel we can do nothing to help. We can. We can pray. We shouldn't ever doubt the power of prayer. When we are moved by something we see on the TV news or read about in a newspaper, we should say a prayer. Any feeling of sadness or compassion inside of us is in fact a type of prayer. But it becomes much bigger if we do acknowledge it in the form of prayer. When you hear an ambulance or walk past a hospital, say a quick prayer for whoever is sick and for those who are caring for them. When you see someone in difficulties on the street, say a prayer for them. We all need to expand our circle of prayers out from ourselves, our family and friends. You are being called upon to pray for other people, including people in the world whom you have never met. We need to pray for our communities and our leaders, politicians, business leaders, church leaders, community leaders. We all need to pray that they will listen to God and His angels and make the right decisions, as their decisions affect all of us. I believe that each and every one of you has been demonstrated the power of prayer in your own life. Too often, we forget to say thank you, to say a prayer of gratitude. When we do, it helps us to appreciate more the blessings we have received and deepens and strengthens our faith and our relationship with God. Saying prayers of gratitude helps us to realize how much we actually have and gives us help and confidence for the future. I wanted to include some special prayers in this book and asked Angel Amen to come to help me. I was working at the computer and she appeared beside me, squatted down and said some words of prayer, which seemed to me to take only a few moments, but I know it must have been longer. Then she disappeared. I was very anxious that I would forget the prayer, but Angel Hosus came and helped me to remember the words that Angel Amen had given me to share with you. It's a prayer of thanks to God. A prayer of thanks. Thank you for all the blessings you have bestowed upon me, my God. The blessing of having a soul, that speck of your light. The blessing of the gift of my guardian angel for eternity, who never leaves me even for one second. The blessing of the peace and love that dwell in me. The blessing of the family you have given me. The blessing of those you send into my life for companionship. The blessing of living in harmony with those around me. The blessing of my labor, my work. The blessings of all the material things I have in my life, big and small. The blessings of this wonderful world and the nature around me. Thank you, my God, for all the things I forget to thank you for. And most of all, thank you, my God, for continuing to bless my life. Amen. Praying with others is very powerful, particularly when a community is praying together for the same cause. When I am at Mass, which is the form of group prayer I am most familiar with, most of the time I am shown that people are praying for their own needs and those of their family and friends. But when there is a request to pray for a particular group or need, and most people turn their prayer to that intention, I see an intensification of the prayer. I see more and more angels of prayer flowing to heaven. The angel Amen has told me that when people of different religions pray together, it is particularly powerful. Every time I go into a church, mosque, synagogue, or temple or any other holy place, I see hundreds of angels praying, quite aside and separate from any angel of prayer. It doesn't matter what religion the place belongs to, if any. Whether it's a building or a space outside, even if the place is no longer being used for prayer, it is still a holy place, and there will be angels there, praying to God. Any spot where someone prays can become a holy place, a particular room, a chair in your house, or a corner in the park. It's as if, when you pray there regularly, the angels of prayer leave something behind there and that particular spot becomes more peaceful or calmer. This is one of the reasons that many people find it easier to pray in the same place whenever possible. Many of us use material things to help us to pray. Some of us use beads, prayer books, or incense, or we light candles.